We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, Grinders! Welcome to Roto Grinders today. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD. If you want to follow me on Twitter. And it's Thursday, April 4th. We're talking about the NHL 9-game. I believe it's 9-game slate tonight. There's also some baseball today. Not much going on. Some basketball, right? A little bit of everything. Some college basketball coming up this weekend. We got MMA tomorrow, right? Well, MMA on Saturday, but I'll be talking to Spur Patrol tomorrow about the UFC slate. But since we're talking NHL and it's Thursday, we have to bring in someone with the first name that starts with a T. That's what we have to do. So it's Tim Buell talking about NHL. The contests are putrid. What's going on, Tim? Yes. You didn't tell me this, that I this is the first season of me playing NHL DFS. You didn't tell me that once baseball comes around, they take the NHL contest and they just kind of like, we're going to just like lower those or make the payout structure so it's $10,000 to first and $100 to ninth place. I'm only playing three lineups tonight. I did well on Tuesday. I mean, I've been doing well this NHL season. I just didn't think it was going to come to such an abrupt end.
Yeah, as soon as MLB regular season starts, it really just halts the NHL action almost immediately, which is a shame because there's plenty of really good hockey left to be played. And there's still playoffs, right? And playoff contests are even worse, which is a shame. So, but yeah, it's, it does come to a very, very quick end.
Well, maybe that we'll be doing splitting this off to more baseball related, right, on Tuesdays or something, and then maybe throw in some NHL. So we'll be feeling it out as the contests get posted. But we do have I think it's a pretty good slate tonight.
Yes.
Due to the fact that we do have some stars, right, in the player pool to use, because Tuesday we really didn't. And I'm not exactly sure if there's going to be like any, I mean, there's going to be chalk, but not, I mean, I'm looking through our projections. I built some dummy lineups and I feel like there are I feel like I want to target some games, but I'm not exactly sure if there's going to be like, if someone's going to be like 30% owned or something on this slate or 25, maybe if it's anyone, I guess it's Nathan McKinnon. I mean, but he's 10-2. Colorado against Minnesota. I mean, from a ceiling perspective, both these teams obviously capable of scoring a whole bunch of goals, but the pricing is, I mean, how do you do it?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I do agree with you. I think this is a really, really strong slate. I think there's multiple ways that you can go about building your teams. I built about 100 teams in Lineup HQ before we started, and I was surprised at the ownership exposures that I got. Not really much. It didn't really condense much up at the top, which I always like to see. So you're right. Like the Avalanche are really, really expensive. They're on the road. Like Minnesota is not the defensive juggernaut that they have been in years past due to some injuries on their blue line, but it's still a road matchup and McKinnon's still over 10K. So it's not exactly like, you know, the most perfect spot, despite the fact that he's such an amazing player. So like, I don't think his ownership is going to get like completely steamed. But I do expect that he's going to garner some ownership, probably around like between 15 and 20%, I would imagine.
Now that they have Drouin and Mittelstadt on power play one, I mean, maybe people are more likely to play, you know, you leave off Rantanen and Makar, you could still play McKinnon with two cheapies in there for correlation purposes. So maybe he gets a little bit more than we think just due to that. The other spot I think it'll be similarly owned is Kucherov, 9,600. The Lightning are facing the Canadiens. That's obviously a good matchup. I like the is it weird for me to say the thing about the Lightning is that I feel like any of their top six could have a good game, right? It could be line one, it could be the power play. Duclair could have two goals. Hagel could have two goals. I mean, Stamkos, obviously. Then Kucherov is there. It's hard to pick out essentially who to play. Is it weird for me to say that in this game, I prefer to play Montreal on the other side?
That is not what I thought you were going to say. So yeah, I guess that is a little bit weird. I mean,
I think the Lightning are not good defensively. They get into these shootout games, and I look at the Canadians and I go, "Who?" I mean, there's like four guys. Like you're playing line one and Matheson, and you like I don't have to think. Well, I'm only playing three lineups, Tim. I don't want them to have to make combinations. We'll talk about the Kings. I don't have to make 74 combinations of who could possibly score for the Kings tonight.
Right.
But it's like the Canadians score four goals. It's I think I'm getting 20 plus out of at least two out of these four people because I mean their line twos and line threes are not, I mean, really it's Suzuki, Caulfield, Slavkovsky and Matheson. Right. Maybe, you know, Josh Anderson scores a goal. Maybe Newhook or Gallagher. But for the most part, the prices are reasonable. And I know where it's going to... Like, I'm getting to the point. I just want to know where the production's coming from. Would you rather play Kucherov in a winger spot or McKinnon in a center spot? As just even just as like a one.
I'd rather play McKinnon. Definitely. And the other thing about your Montreal argument is that Tampa Bay is on the second half of back-to-back. They're probably not going to be playing Vasilevsky on a back-to-back. So it's either going to be Jonas Johansson, who is their number two goalie, he's injured. So it might even be Matt Tompkins, who is their number three goalie. So I'm not really sure who's going to be the goaltender for the Lightning. So that kind of helps your Canadians call there a little bit also. So, you know, I don't mind that. I like your point though. Like, you know, where the production is going to come from with Montreal. But I think that there are other spots too, where you can get some cheap production where you kind of like feel confident of where, you know, the production is going to come from in other spots.
So what's one of those spots, Tim?
Well, I mean, you know, we got to talk about, I think we've got to talk about, obviously, we're going to talk about LA. That's the easy one. We also have to talk about Florida, I think, because they have a couple injuries that we have to discuss. Carter Verhaeghe, I think, is out until the playoffs. And then Matthew Tkachuk, he was out last game with an illness. I have not seen any news on him yet. I bet we will hear some news about him, you know, in the next couple of hours. But, you know, that leaves guys like Luostarinen on power play one, Tarasenko on power play one, extremely cheap, strong value. Obviously, you know, if you want to play Montreal, they will not be as high owned as Florida. But I mean, Florida is another spot where I really, really like today that they're very, very cheap and they're in a great spot and should be able to produce quite nicely.
Another person that may be out, tell me what's going on with Ekblad. Because I know he came out last game and now he's not listed on our starting lineups page. Because one of the things about Florida is that I like making my lines pairing with defensemen, and the cheaper, the better. I mean, obviously Montour is there, but I mean, he's priced up at 5,600. Like taking Ekblad out, it's like, now maybe I could play Forsling or even Ekman Larson or someone like that, where a cheaper defender to pair with some of these people.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about Ekblad. I actually played him on Tuesday, so that did not end well for me. But yeah, you know, this Florida team definitely has some value opportunities. And I think Montour at 5,600 honestly is not that bad of a play. This is a pretty good spot for Florida despite playing on the road. So, you know, you can, and even Barkov is only 7K. So, you know, that's the player I actually got the most of when I was running my 100 teams on the lineup HQ was Barkov at 7,100. So I was not surprised to see that at all, given the matchup. And so I would love to see Tkachuk play in this game, because if he does, I think he would be a great play as well.
If Tkachuk plays, does that downgrade? I mean, I'm assuming it downgrades Luostarinen, and he would lose.
It would.
I'm assuming that he wouldn't play in the power play one unit anymore.
Correct.
And then he replaces a Koso on line two. And big problems. I mean, the standard line was Bennett, Cousins, and Tkachuk anyway.
Yeah.
But I mean, does Tkachuk is a volume shooter? I'm assuming like guys like Barkov, Reinhardt, Tarasenko, their projection may go slightly down just because they're taking the shots on the power play that Tkachuk would normally be taking.
Yeah, and Tkachuk doesn't come off of the power play. He plays essentially both units of the, you know, both PP1 and PP2. So he becomes like one of those, like, you know, guys like Ovechkin that never leave the power play. So he would be a fantastic play. And then if he doesn't play, you've got really, really strong value options in Luostarinen and in Tarasenko. So I think that's, in terms of a news perspective, in terms of, you know, paying attention to Discord and things like that, Florida is definitely an extremely important piece.
Another piece of news that we probably have to look for is whether or not Boone Jenner is going to be back for the Columbus Blue Jackets, because Varenkov is playing on line one in power play one at 3,400. I mean, Columbus sucks. Okay. So, I mean, we're talking about, I mean, I think Tarasov will be one of the like popular cheaper goalkeepers on the slate. But the Islanders now are starting to now the Islanders are pissing me off. I was playing the Islanders when like everything was correlated. Now I have no idea what's going on. We have these line three guys. Why does Anders Lee on line three project so well in our projections? I mean, for a $3,300 guy, I'm not a big fan of playing the Islanders anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But if Boone Jenner is not in, I mean, it also, I don't mind playing the Columbus against the Islanders. It's just a matter of figuring out who to play in the. I feel like this game could have a, could be low owned and actually provide a decent amount of goals. But I just, I'm not sure if I play a line or I just pick off some of these cheapies and hope for the one-off goals.
Given how cheap they are, I don't mind Columbus. I mean, the whole Boone Jenner situation, you know, huge personal tragedy for he and his family, but I have no idea if he's going to be playing this evening or not. You know, it's definitely a tough situation. But yeah, I mean, Columbus is dirt cheap. The Islanders, they're really, really bad defensively. So given their prices, I wouldn't mind. I think I would not play a stack. I certainly wouldn't mind getting pieces of, like, you know, Voronikov or, you know, Gaudreau or something like that. You know, just like a one-off here and there. Even in someone like you who's only playing three teams, getting like a piece of Columbus, I think is completely fine. And also on the other side, I think getting a piece of the Islanders, they have a 3.5 implied team total, which is almost the highest total on the slate. So, you know, Columbus is absolutely atrocious defensively. So, I think that's why you're going to see some inflated projections on guys like Anders Lee. You know, so it's really a strong spot. What I don't want to be doing though is playing a chalky Anders Lee. That's something I definitely wouldn't want to be doing. So I'd really want to see like how ownership shakes out later in the day. See like what others are talking about and things like that. So I don't want to play a chalky Anders Lee, but I can understand why the projection's so high. It's because the implied team total is so high.
Some other spots. Let's talk about the Kings against the Sharks. I mean, we have to look out for, I guess, to see if Philip Danault is going to be back.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it affects it that much. I mean, I'm assuming DuBois moves down to line three and Danault right. comes into line two as it was set up before. But now Fiala's playing on line three, even though he's on the power play one unit. Arvidsson is on line two, but he's playing on power play one. Our Arvidsson projection is massive for 5,600. I mean, for that price, 13.3 is a very high median projection. I mean, it's the same thing that I say about the Kings. It's very hard to get them right. Like sometimes you do. There are some days I play line two, and they're the ones with four goals. There's sometimes line one's the one that has the four. Then you're sitting there going, "How did the Kings score six goals?" And I have all snowflakes in my life, right?
Yes.
So
yes, yeah.
So what do we do with the Kings? I feel I don't know how I'm assuming they're gonna. I mean, at these prices, they have to be somewhat chalky. I mean,
they're going to be super chalky.
Right. I mean, that they easily fit into your lineup.
Yeah.
I just get the feeling that I want to play the goal scorers. Instead of trying to pick out the lot. See, it's hard for me to say, like, but see, because if I go with the Kings, it feels like I want to just take all the Kings in three of my lineups and that's it. But I also feel like I would want to take an Arvidsson one off. But he's going to be so chalky as a one-off that maybe I take Trevor Moore as a one-off or Adrian Kemp as a one-off. Or maybe the attitude should be if the Kings are going to be so chalky, hope the whole thing fails. And what I mean by fails is that they score three or four goals, but no one has more than 1 point. So it's not like they're fine. One of them could be in a winning lineup, but it's not like something that you have to have. And I just hope that it just gets spread out and I just take none of them. I take my Canadians, right? I take the Columbus, I take my garbage teams and hope for the best.
Yeah, definitely a viable option. Like Trevor Moore last night was the king that you had to have. He had a hat trick. He had 42 DK points. I missed by 0.1 points last night, Blunder, in the 333. And
winner to cash.
To cash. Wow. I missed by 0.1 points to cash in the 333. And I played three LA Kings. Unfortunately, Trevor Moore was not one of them, or else I probably would have won the 333. So but yeah, it's tough to know, like, you know, exactly what to do with this team. I guess you could play them to fail. I don't think I'm going to do that. I think this is such a good spot. And I also think that, you know, the Kings pretty much have the last wild card spot in the West wrapped up, but they do have a little bit of a threat from the Blues. I mean, small threat. The Blues could catch them. And also the Kings can also move up in seeding. So I think they're still trying really hard to win games. And, you know, this is such a strong veteran club that it's, I don't know. I feel like you should get it.
How would you play this, though? If you're on the Kings, so you're not going to fade them, but is it the type of thing that would you rather? Okay, given the choices, here's the four choices, Tim. And you can remember, you play smaller field contests, right?
Right.
So just understand the context. Would you rather play line one, line two, power play one, which will consist of guys from different lines, or a one-off, or like a little two-man, two goal scorer, something like that? Would you include Doughty? Would you include a defender in that? Like, which is the way that you're more inclined to go?
Yeah, so I would not go the one-off route. I would probably go either some variation of a PP1 stack or a full line stack. So last night I played Arvidsson and Fiala and Doughty. And Doughty was such a bad play on my part. He just does not have enough offensive production. Like, he plays a ton of minutes, but he's just not a great, you know, offensive defenseman. So I don't know. Like, this is a great spot for him. Like, he could do it again tonight, but I would probably do some kind of staggered PP1 exposure, like go Kempe, Arvidsson, Fiala. So you're getting exposure to all three even strength lines, but you're also getting exposure almost entirely on that first power play unit.
And the main shooters on the...
And the main shooters.
Like Doughty and Kopitar are going to be the less likely to be...
Exactly. Shots. Yeah, right? So you...
For smaller field contests, you don't need the nut score. So, like, if line three scores and you get an assist from Fiala, like, great. If line two scores, like, great. You're going to get something pretty much if any of the lines score. So I get that from a small field perspective. My choice would probably just take line two. As long as Denault is out, because Du Bois is 3,300. So you get a little cheap piece there. Do you have any concern that, you know, I mean, they're on a back-to-back. I know they're facing the Sharks, but...
Yeah.
I mean, you tell me a team's going to be chalky, and it's hard to predict who's going to be scoring because it's spread out more, and they're on a back-to-back. I mean, I think I'm talking myself into just not playing any Kings.
Yeah, you know, I always have concerns when teams are on a back-to-back. I mean, there's very good data to show that teams do not perform as well, which makes sense, obviously. So, yeah, I think this is just such an exceptional case of such a bad San Jose team. Like, they're just so horrible. So I'm not as concerned in this particular case, but... Yeah, like it's definitely a great way to get off of a lot of ownership is to fade the Kings completely.
Any other games that we should talk about? I mean, I'm looking through here. I consider this to be always a good team to play, especially when they're not going to be a zoned, and I don't think they're going to be at nearly his own today with Kucherov up there, with MacKinnon up there, even Kaprizov or, you know, some of these other guys. Team that I like playing because I think they always have upside. I don't consider the Blues to be that great of a team, right? And that's the Nashville Predators. I'm with, like, Taylor Ezell comes on, and he's like, he loves playing Forsberg in perceived bad matchups. I don't think this is a bad matchup. It's just that 8,300 Forsberg is just, like, for the context of this slate, like, and then you have Nyquist and O'Reilly, and they don't project as well as a, you know, Arvidsson projects for, like, 3 points median higher than both those players. And if people are going to play, like, a defense, high-priced defenseman, they're more likely to play Cale Makar, right? So you got Josie there at 8K. I mean, but the thing about Nashville is, like, you tell me the Predators score 5 goals today, like, I'm pretty confident that if I play power play one, I'm most likely getting a lot of that, a lot of those points.
Yeah, Forsberg could very well get squeezed in ownership today, which would be make him a fantastic GPP play. He's been one of the best offensive players since the All-Star break. He's a fantastic DFS asset, 8,300. So he's right around that Rantanen range. And he's also cheaper than guys like MacKinnon and Kucherov. So he is a little bit easier to play. I do agree with you. I think that more people will go to Makar than Roman Josi. But yeah, that was going to be the next team I wanted to talk about was Nashville. This is a pretty good spot for them. I think they're going to fall a little bit in the projected ownership category. So I think they make for a really, really strong pivot away from the chalkier teams like Florida, like LA, and Colorado. So, I wouldn't mind even playing just Forsberg as a one-off, to be honest with you, because I don't think he's going to be that chalky. And we know that if Nashville produces, it'll likely come from him in some capacity.
Any other games on the slate that we should really take a look at? I mean, there's 9 games. I mean, we obviously have the Discord that you're always participating in. It is the best NHL DFS Discord in existence. Join it. rotogrinders.com/Discord. I mean, Boston, Carolina just seems to me as, stay away from this game, right? Even if goals get scored, good luck figuring out who it's going to be, right? So that's, and they're, no one's cheap. I mean, I look at that game as like kind of a stay away. The Penguins Capitals game, can you play Ovechkin as a one-off at 6,800? Obviously you can. I'd be more interested in the Capitals than the Penguins, but I don't consider this game. I don't consider the Penguins Capitals game to be a game where, oh my God, there's 12 goals in this game. Like I don't see it there. And then we also have the Flames Jets. And I have
some interest in the Jets a little bit.
Why don't they project higher? I did my dummy lineup yesterday, and I always look at the goalie prices to know what the lines are going to be. I never mind attacking the Flames. I don't mind playing the Flames either, but I was expecting line one is like all 5K players, like Scheifele, Vilardi, Ehlers, and even if you take out Ehlers and you play, you know, Josh Morrissey or something to get power play one correlation, I'm like, okay, I may play Winnipeg plus Montreal, and God knows how low on that combination's going to be.
That would be very, very low owned.
Right, but then I wake up in the morning and I load up our projections, and I'm like, oh, the Jets don't even project that well, and I'm like, why?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's probably because, you know, that line one and line two probably split quite a few minutes, and they both share power play one time. So it's like, you know, that could be a reason. Like, I really kind of like that Winnipeg line two with Kyle Connor, Sean Monahan, and Cole Perfetti. You get Connor and Monahan on the PP1. Monahan was showing up on quite a few of the optimals that I ran. Can't
Well, I think he's going to end up being replaced by Veron. I mean, if Boone Jenner's out and Voronkov, you know, at 3,400, I think he ends up being in that in the optimal with McKinnon.
Oh, you think Voronkov will be in the optimal with McKinnon?
Yeah. And also, Dane just posted breaking news. Matthew Tkachuk, who missed the game in Montreal due to illness, is on the ice for morning skate in Ottawa.
Okay. All right. So, going to lose Luostarinen as a super cheapy, chalky, you know, value play, which isn't horrible. That's fine. We can find other value.
So for Winnipeg, you prefer to, like, Kyle Connor at 7,500. I mean, he's going to be lower on than Forsberg.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely going to fall quite a bit in the ownership. So I really don't mind them. Probably not for like in the contest that you and I play, but if I was building out in large field, I'd be getting to quite a few Jets today. Like Monahan's a great pivot off of those guys like Voronkov and those cheap centers. So I think Winnipeg too. I think they're a great pivot off of the Kings also. So I really don't mind playing Winnipeg at all today.
And I'm going to show, you know, we have all the, you know, features here for NHL DFS as well as MLB. Sign up for Roto Grinders Combo Premium. You get everything. So, I mean, that's, you know, you get NHL, MLB, MMA, college basketball, NBA, through the play and all the playoff stuff, right? So, I mean, sign up today. 6-month package. We have a deal, $250 off. So, like, go. Click on that link in the description and then get in there. So, like, one of the things that I like looking at, you know, is the DraftKings stack values page, right? So it's not just, like, looking at, like, okay, here's all the projections and running lineups and everything, but just, like, since you correlate a lot, you know, I try to have point per dollar value, but also a high average projection. So, like, the top, I mean, like, yeah, Brendan Gallagher, Alex Newhook, and Joel Armia has the highest point per dollar projection, but it's 7.36 average projection. So it's like I don't care, right? Once we get into the double digits, the top right now is Trevor Moore is basically LA 2.
Look at LA 2. I mean that's going to be, if Denault doesn't play, that's going to be super chalky line.
Right. So we look here. So I'm looking at double digit average projected points. Then we get LA power play 1, right? 12.22 down here. We also hear close 9.27. We also get, if Boone Jenner doesn't play, Columbus 1, right here. But then we go down in like the fourth one, right? It's like, okay, Columbus, LA, Montreal power play 1. Montreal 1 is right here. Montreal 1, Montreal power play 1. And then once you get rid of Luostarinen from Florida power play 1, that's going to drop in point per dollar value. So like our projections would say I'm not as crazy as you may have thought earlier for me to play Montreal today.
No, I agree with that. I'm really surprised at how well they're projected.
And I think our NHL projections are the best in the business. And you know me, I don't watch. I've watched one period of one game this entire NHL season, so I have to rely that our numbers are good and they prove out to be.
Yeah, no, yeah, Moneyball 16, Dane Forden does an absolutely fantastic job doing these projections.
I even have the props, right? I got some props, and I got baseball. Tim, MLB props. I don't know.
I hear you're the new home run tout.
No, I gotta stop doing that. See, here's the difference. Because this is what ends up happening. So, like yesterday, of course, people want these home run calls, right? They want the calls. I don't have calls. Cheese has the calls. Okay. Right. So Cheese goes, Taylor Ward, right? He hits a home run, right? He picks someone like everyone he picked three people, they all hit home runs. And it's like, Well, I mean, I could just go to the top of the bat page and whatever and just pick who's more likely to home run today. But that isn't the goal in sports betting. The goal is to be profitable based on the lines of the books. So I'm the schmuck, right? It's not that hard to give Taylor Ward to hit home run off a lefty, a garbage Marlins lefty rookie pitcher. Me, I'm putting in Ezekiel Duran for the Rangers at plus 830, right? And then it doesn't happen. And then, like, I'm the asshole. It's like, like, all I'm saying is that Ezekiel Duran, right? That you're getting paid 8-1 to him hit a home run, and our and the bat projections say he's like 6-1, 6.5-1. He's gonna hit, the bat says that he's gonna hit a home run about once a week, and you're getting paid about once every 8 days, you know, as if it's once right. every 8 days. So that's right. an edge of like 8% or something like that. So it's not right. a call. I'm just saying that's what I had Jorge Soler yesterday. He hit a home run. But it's because he was priced at like plus 450 when he should have been priced at like plus 350.
Yeah, right. You're so just that, using the math. You're just using the call. Math. Right.
Yeah. But people think that it's me giving what's going to happen. Cause I gave out two mispriced home run props for the Rangers yesterday. And then someone asked, it's like, oh, so don't play Aaron Civale, the pitcher against him. I go, no, Savali projects well. You should play him in DFS. And then people don't understand. Like, well, why are you saying to Semien plus 500 and Ezekiel Duran plus 830 are good home run props, but Savali's a good pitcher in DFS? It's like compared to the – if Savali was 4K, it would be a good play even if he gave up two home runs. I mean, what is it? Right. Like, the price matters.
Right.
So, like, if Marcus Semien had a plus 10,000 for home run, like, Savali could pitch like 14 strikeouts. And as long as he gives up one home run to Semien, he shouldn't be 100-1 to hit a home run. So, it's like when people don't get the math of this, all it does is put me, it just gives me, put make me in trouble. Imagine Tim. What are the anytime goal scoring? What's the first goal scoring props? Like, you'd look at our projections and go, hey, this line two guy is like plus 1100 to score the first goal. Like you're going to be wrong. You're going to be wrong nine right. days in a row.
Right. You're going to be wrong so many times.
Right, so many times, but as long as you're right once out of 10, every 10 days for that, you're extremely profitable, right? You're getting a nice 9% return, but people don't, I just want what's going to happen today. So that's the reason, that's my spiel of, I was only posting them on Twitter because I was actually hitting, I mean, I had one day where I hit like 5 out of 9. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to post what I played. And then I hit 2 out of 8. So I'm like, okay, I got to keep on going until I get an offer. I got an offer, and then I just like look at the bat projections. It's not like I'm just looking at numbers.
Right? I haven't gotten into the baseball props yet. I've only bet one prop this year thus far. But
you got it up in Maine now, right?
Oh yeah. I'm still just like looking at hockey stuff. I haven't like dug really super deep.
Oh, into, the baseball's baseball. Where it's at, boy.
I know.
You don't realize how much.
Yeah.
Over the past, like yesterday, I'll look at my tracker. Like, this is a light day. I had 105 bets yesterday. My normal for a normal day of baseball with a lot of games is like 150 to 175 individual bets. Today it's going to be, today I think I got, what I got? I maybe 50? 56, because there's only 56. Like 5 games or whatever.
So that's 56 just for baseball?
Just for baseball, yes.
And that's all like all different, like home run, total bases, strikeouts.
Yeah, so I don't different. Have, I literally have zero home run there's nothing that's profitable. But I mean, it's like on the pitching props, it's not just K's. Earned runs, hits allowed, walks allowed, earned runs allowed, outs, you know, if there's an edge there. And then on the batting stuff, it's hits, total bases, stolen bases, home runs, you know, RBIs. If I see anything that has an outsized edge, I flat bet everything. So I bet a certain amount on K props. On any stat that's more normally distributed, typically I have a higher unit size. And the ones that are less normally distributed, I have just it's a quarter of that. Only because, stolen bases, and home runs are never things that I'm doing. Because there's so much marginal difference of a plate, a quarter of a plate appearance could remove 10%. 10% of that edge is just in a quarter of a plate appearance. So that little amount of variance, I'm just going to go, I'm going to bet 30 of these across the board. And it ends up being profitable by the end of the year. I don't know which ones are which. Just do them all and hope for the best. And typically it works out. But the normally distributed type of stuff like K-props, right? Even hits allowed for pitcher. Like a lot of the pitcher stuff outside of maybe walks or even earned runs, a little different distributions there. I don't want to put a lot. The pitcher outs is definitely one. Unless it's significantly off because the market thinks that the guy's going to pitch 100 pitches when he's obviously on a 70-80 pitch limit or something. I'm typically not doing much on those. But, I mean, basically I just look at the bat and I just I bet three times a day, Tim. I bet overnight. Not much stuff is available overnight. So before I go to bed around midnight, then I'll wake up and before this show, 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, more stuff will be up. And I hammer as much as I can. That's how I have 56 in. And then lineups start, today lineups will start coming out at 1 or so because there's some 4 p.m. games.
Right.
And as lineups come out, I mean, I do have batting props in, but these are all based on the projected orders. So once the lineups start coming in, the bat updates 5 or 10 minutes later. And then I look to see if anything's changed. So I'm doing 20%, 15-20% of my work midnight the night before, then about 65% of my work the morning of, then another 10% later. So you could, it's the type of thing where it doesn't take
do you ever find arbitrage betting situations?
Yes. If it pops up, but I mean, if you're doing stuff like arbitrage, that's the type of thing where you're staring at a screen for 16 hours a day.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, if it shows up, it shows up. But for the most part, I'm just looking to get a projection edge.
You're not hunting for it though.
Right. And also realize I only have six available books. Technically six available books legally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Five that are real books because Fanatics isn't a real sports book. It doesn't matter what their lines are. You can't bet more than a dollar there anyway. So it's most of the time you're going to find arbitrage in the live betting. Unless on the pregame stuff. So that just means that, just sit and stare at screens all day, which, hey, is fine. But I'd much rather typically the amount of work in total between those three betting periods is less than an hour of total time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to get thousands of dollars now.
Right. Just by betting.
Right. Thousands and never hitting limits. Cause I'm not greedy. And if I could get a 5% return, which is low. I mean, last year, my ROI was 12%. So even at a 5% return, getting, let's say I get four grand down, that's an expected return of $200.
Right.
For an hour's worth of work, essentially.
Yep.
Sounds fine to me.
5%'s not bad at all.
Right. And the variance is much lower since I'm flat betting across the board. So some pitcher, you know, when Jacob Junis gets taken out at like 47 pitches in the to not even start the fifth inning, and I have his over 4.5, and he's at 4 strikeouts, and I'm wondering what the hell happened there. Like, I'm not, I made money because, yeah, I lost that one, but I also won his under earned runs and his under it's allowed because I had those also. So it's like, it's all spread out enough that I'm not like sweating like one thing to happen.
Not with the 160 bats. No,
no, no. I most of the time I have no idea what the hell's even going on. Half the time I don't even remember. Most of the time I'm rooting for unders. So like when in doubt, if I open up the MLB app, I'm like, if I see low scoring games, right, and pitchers that are pitching into the fifth, sixth inning, if I see high scoring games, right, and pitchers not pitching into the fourth inning, typically I'm doing well. I may not be doing well on the hitting props though, but I mean typically that's what I'm looking for. Typically unders.
Yeah.
So anything else, Tim? Are you doing, I mean, with you got NHL, are you, cause now there's basketball and baseball and you're on the morning grind. You're on some grinders. Like it seems like, you know, you're on, what the hell do you do during the day? You're on at different times all the time. You're on the weekends. I know it's raining and snowing and stuff up there. So you're not going anywhere. But
yeah, I'm not going anywhere today. It is horrible outside right now. This is amazing for an April blizzard. Even for Maine. I'm still playing the NBA. I'm still playing, obviously playing MLB and NHL. I'll be on Crunch Time this Saturday for MLB. And then I'll be doing projections today and I'll be in Discord all day today and tomorrow for NHL.
So join that. rotogrinders.com/Discord. Hit that thumbs up button. You know how much I like the thummy thumbs. Give me those thummy thumbs, right? We got some early baseball today, right? We got a doubleheader for the Mets. We got some 4 o'clock games. We got, I can see I'm looking for stuff over here. Yeah, we got a four game. Depends on if you're playing on FanDuel or DraftKings, right? But we got slates. We got NBA. We got NHL. I'll be covering UFC tomorrow with Squirrel Patrol. And hit the subscribe button if you're new here. Hit the notification bell to always know when I go live here in the morning, 11 o'clock Eastern, Monday through Friday, talking about all things you're thinking about in daily fantasy props and pick 'em on Roto Grinders today.